Turning your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 120 right now. We're actually going to read Psalms 134, but I want to introduce something to you. In Psalms chapter 120, for the next 15 Psalms, it's called what we call, what is entitled, A Song of Degrees. Do y'all have that in your Bible underneath those Psalms? A psalm of degrees. And the word degrees, I'm told, it means accents. And there's three or four thoughts concerning this. One is that these Psalms was written from the pilgrimage of Babylon back to Jerusalem. Remember, they spent 70 years in Babylon, and when they made the pilgrimage and was brought back by Ezra and them, they were glad when they were able to go back into the house of the Lord. Some people think that the 15 Psalms of the Song of Degrees represented the steps, going 15 steps that went into the temple. And each step that they would step on, they would sing one of these songs. The first one would be chapter 120, and then on up 121 and so forth, and on up to 134. Then some people think that it was just something of praise, of encouragement. Then some believe that three times a year the males, the Jewish males, would travel to the feast of Pentecost and feast of Passover and the Tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles. They would have to go into Jerusalem, and it would be the pilgrimage when they went there. And so I'm not sure exactly what the Song of Degrees are, but I notice in chapter 120, he starts out in distress. 121, he lifted his eyes up unto the Lord. In 122, he was glad when they said unto us, let's go into the house of the Lord. Now let me say this. How would you react had for 70 years you not been able to come into church and you got the ability to come back to church? How would you feel about that? Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 134, and I want to share some things with you. Keep your Bible. I want to go to a few places in Psalms. In Psalms chapter 134, the last of these Song of Degrees, he says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So here what he's doing is he's encouraging the priests and he's encouraging those in the house of the Lord to lift up their hands and praise the Lord and bless him. Bless the Lord with your lips, and bless him with your praises, bless him with your testimonies for what God has done. And so David was one who loved the house of the Lord. Let me say this before I get into this message. He loved the house of the Lord, but I can't help believe that when his sons were young, he neglected to take them to the house of the Lord like he should. He was busy with other things because most of his sons ended up very corrupt. Amalek killed Ammon. Ammon died drunk. And then you had Amalek rebelled against David and was killed by Joab, the captain of the guard, hanging in the oak tree, trying to kill David, his father. And you find different things like that, and they're good indication that those boys had not been... David had not, as much as he loved the house of the Lord, you think he would have spent some time, but I believe he got away from the Lord for a while during that time. And then what we find is that he was brought back. He was brought back after the deal with Bathsheba and after he had Solomon. And evidently he understood the importance of the house of the Lord for his children because Solomon obviously was brought up in the house of the Lord. And so here in Psalms 134, he's talking about that we ought to be servants, number one, of the Lord. Number two, we ought to bless him and we ought to praise him in the sanctuary. And so, therefore, it's important to come to the house of God because you ought to learn to praise the Lord. I think all of us sometimes, we neglect to give the Lord the praise that we need to. And sometimes I think it would be good. And sometimes we've had testimony services. But I don't like to pry it. I like to have people just do it. I like when God's moving in your life and he's moving and stirring your heart and he's blessed you with something. I like to just hear you stand up and give a testimony on your own. And that's a good way of doing it, and God gets glory out of it. I was telling Stuart and them today, they were talking about that they fumbled on the song. I said, you don't know how that might have blessed somebody else's heart. And so I said, don't ever take that away. But anyway, David ends up in verse number 3, after saying, the servants bless the Lord. And he said, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. So first of all, he lets us know and he reminds us that the power of the God in which we serve, the creator of heaven and earth, and realize that he owns all things and everything is his. And then also the fact that those who come to the house of God and those who serve in the house of God are blessed. We're living in a time when church is being diminished. Many of the churches, Sunday night and Wednesday night services, have gotten so poorly attended that they quit having services. People won't come out. They don't come out. They don't have time. And so I want to share with you some things that are blessings about the house of God. You know, the house of God is a blessing for us. It shouldn't be something we dread to do. There should be some things that are blessings about the house of God. Let me share them with you, if you would, in the book of Psalms. Stay with me, and let's go some ways in which the Lord blesses us. Look, if you would, in Psalms 27. And turn quickly, because we're just going to turn back and forth. We're not going to get out of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 27. David has a lot written about the house of the Lord. In Psalms 27, verse number 4, he says this. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let me say one thing about the blessings of coming to the house of God. We get to see the beauty of the Lord. The world curses Jesus. They curse the Bible. They curse the Word of God. When the Word of God condemns something, a practice and lifestyle that they like, they hate it. They hate anyone who preaches it. And they hate anyone who believes it. But I'm glad that we can come into the house of God and we see the beauty of God. We realize that God, through his word, is not full of hate. He's full of love. And what he's trying to do is save their old wretched souls from hell. He's loved them so much that he sent his only begotten son. They don't see that when we preach the truth about the word of God. All they see is it condemns the things and lifestyle they want to live. And so therefore, what they do is they hate anyone. They hate the message. They hate the messenger. And they hate the Christ or God or whatever it is in which you are upholding. The reason why is it just goes against their craw. And Jesus said the world would hate them. And they do. But the wonderful thing about coming in the house of God is we see the beauty of the Lord. Amen. My, you know, it's like a tabernacle. You look at tabernacle and it was a building that held the presence of God. On the outside, it looked ugly. On the inside, there was great beauty to it. And people that condemns the church from the outside, they don't even know what they're talking about. And people that condemns these things, they don't know. And people says, you know, they call me hate because I preach the word. I don't hate them. I'd love to see them get saved. But I love them enough to tell them the truth. Now, look on, if you would, and think about this a moment. We get to see the beauty of the Lord. Amen. I want my kids and my grandchildren to see the beauty of the Lord. I don't want them to be blinded by the God of this world. I don't want them to blind them to the things in which I have found out and I've seen for myself. When I was a child and I was being bring in the house of God, there was a lot of times that I'd rather do other things. But I was brought to the house of God because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And you say, well, what would you have done if you, what would have happened if you'd stomped your foot and said you wasn't going? The rod of correction would drive it far from me. And the point of the matter is that we had, even though at times I didn't, I cannot tell you how much I gathered. And now I see differently. Not only that, and you know, it pleases me to no degree when I see my family in the house of God.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, a lot of your family goes there. Well, it pleases me. Everybody's welcome to come. It's not my family's church. They've got the same vote everybody else. But I'd love to see my family in church. I'd love to see your family in church.
Amen.
If you can bring 25 of your family and set them here, I'd say amen. It tickled me to death. Bring them on. But look, if you would, in Psalms 36. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Some blessings we get from the house of the Lord. Verse number 8, they shall be abundantly what? Satisfied with the fatness of thy what? House. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. How many of you have ever had to be away from the house of God for a while and you couldn't help it? How many of you missed it? How many of you was glad when you got to be able to come back into it? You know what? I'm satisfied with the house of God. Oh, I'd love to have more attendance. I'd love this. I'd love that. I'd love to have more this, that. I'd even like to have better preaching. But you know what? Even with all its flaws, I'm satisfied to come into the house of God. There's something about it that satisfies me because there's no other place I can go that will give me what I get when I come to church.
Amen.
I've been around to a lot of places. I've been to a lot of things. And I've never found one thing that can fill me like the house of God can.
Amen.
Now that, look if you would in Psalms 135. I told you we was going, well, let me just go 55 while we're there. Look in, if you would, in chapter 55. In Psalms chapter 55, in verse number 14. The Bible says we took sweet counsel together and we walked unto the house of God in what? Can I tell you what? I enjoyed the fellowship of the people here. I love that we get along. I love to see you standing around after church sometimes talking. Most of the time I leave before everybody else leaves. Standing around talking out there, fellowshipping. Usually after I preach, my foot is killing me most of the time, and so I'm ready to get off my foot and sit down and go get my foot up out of the air. And so, but anyway, I love to see people fellowshipping. I love to see people getting along. And isn't it good to be able to come and be in a company of strangers and yet become a family? And you know, anyone that wants to come and be a part of it. We saw Brother Greg's mom and dad come this morning and want to be a part of it. That blessed my heart. We saw some come back that hadn't been here for a long time this morning. And had a visitor just walk in and he said he thoroughly enjoyed it and he'd be back sometime. And so it's good to see people come, but it's good to have a company that you fellowship with. Can I ask you this? Where can you find any better fellowship than you can in a house of God if the churches get along with each other like they should? And all that, look if you would in 66. Now some would disagree with me here, but a blessing I get in the house of God as well. Look if you would in verse number 13. I will go into thy house with what? And I will pay thee my vows. You may not understand this. I hope you do. But the Lord blesses me by letting me bring my tithes and offerings in here. I don't begrudge that. And I'll tell you why. Number one, every time I see somebody walk the aisle and get saved, I know that I'm part of that. Every time we had a missionary come, for instance, we had Brother Henry come from India. He stood here before you all, and he shared with you that he had had, I think, 250 people saved since he was here last year. We, because of what we give to missions, we were a part of that. When we get reports, and someone else, Brother Vincent, had come from Africa, 250, 300, 400 people saved. We were a part of that. I walk back through there and I look on the board and I see all those people and all those places. And I don't know about you, but it does my heart good to know that I'm able to give tithes and offerings and preach the gospel to people that has never heard the word of God. How precious is that? And I don't know about you, but when I sit over here and one of the missionaries come and starts telling about what's going on in the mission, I just feel so good that I gave. Amen? And I just want to give more. Just want to give. And because it's just a blessing. Look, if you would, in Psalms 135. And so the Lord blesses us by coming and giving. And you know something? I'll tell you this. Chris and I, we were both saved, but we were both out of church early on in our life. She went a little bit on Sunday mornings, but that's about it. But we didn't give, and we didn't give tithes and offerings. And we probably at that time made more money or had more available money than what we have ever had. And yet we suffered all the time financially. We never had, seemed like everything just went wrong. And of course we realized, we knew, and I knew because I'd been raised, and I knew enough to know that I wasn't going to prosper robbing God of his blessings of what he blessed me with, and I need to get back in the house of God. I fought it for a while, but I can say that I'm glad that I got back in and now I'm able to give. And I can tell you this, God's blessed me over the years because, and I believe that's one reason why. Look, if you would, in Psalms 135. In verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Let me say this. Is there any other place that you go where the name of Jesus is lifted up like it is in the house of the Lord? Listen, you can bring your children here without worrying about a curse word being said in their presence. You can bring them here without worrying about seeing vile things. You can bring them here without worrying about them being affected in many negative ways in which they are other places. But is there any place that you go where Jesus is put eminent, where he's put first, he's lifted up? That's why I love the house of God. He blesses me because one of these days when I die and stand before him, I'm glad that I went to the house of God, and I'm glad I'm not standing at the great white throne judgment being cast into hell. Amen. I'm so glad that someone cared enough to pray for me. Look, if you would, in Psalms 92. I told you I'm going to run you a little bit. Psalms 92, verse number 13. Those that be planted in the what? House of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. In other words, they will mature. Friday, some of the young kids from school went over to London, and they competed in what we call junior convention. Sometimes we, at the end of the year, we have some of the older ones go and do a state convention. But you know, I look at our young people. I listen to our young people. I see our young people. And I see many times, I see them, that you kept them into the house of God, and I see them grow up. I see many of them mature. I see them grow. And sometimes I read, they write poetry or they write something, and I'm amazed at the message. Now, it's easy when someone writes it for them and they want to claim it as theirs. But what tickles me is, and young people, listen to me. I'd rather you write something from your heart and not get a ribbon than to have somebody help you write it and it's not your message. And it's not your paper. And what I'm trying to get across to you is this. I've seen these young people grow and begin to mature. It's a blessing to see them mature. I've seen others, Brother Porter in there. The years I've seen you grow a lot, Brother Porter, in the years that we've been together. You know that? I've seen a lot of things change in our lives. And you know what? That's because of the house of God. Amen. It's a place when you're planted in there, you flourish, you mature, you grow. And that's necessary. Look, if you would, in verse 14. He goes on, he says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You want them to bring forth fruit? You need to keep them in the house of God. Have you ever noticed what happens when kids get out of the house of God? You ever notice what happens? Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 93. In Psalms 93, in verse number 5, thy testimonies are very sure, holiness becoming thy house, O Lord, forever. I'm glad at this place where I hear other people give praise to the Lord. Sometimes I hear people talk about the Lord, and if you listen for just a moment, you realize that they don't know much about what they're talking about. And there's a whole lot of people that wants to worship a God in which is not the God of the Bible. And so therefore, they make a pretense. And so it's important, and I love the house of God, and he blesses me. Now, look if you would in Psalms 122. Go back to where we started. Now I'm just giving you some thoughts. I'm going to close with this one. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse number 9, same chapter. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Have you ever watched somebody get out of the church? Have you ever seen their life shipwreck? I've known people that used to go to church, used to serve the Lord in church. You look at their life right now, it's shipwrecked. Can I tell you, let you in on a little secret you probably already know? If you will come in the house of the Lord and bless the Lord, the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth will bless you too. Doesn't mean you won't go through some hard times, don't mean you won't go through some trials, but I'm going to tell you, there's some blessings that is associated with coming to the house of the Lord. That's why we're told in the book of Hebrews, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, even so much more as you see the day approaching. My friend, if you can't see the day approaching, that's all the more reason we better be in the house of God and have our families in the house of God and have our children in the house of God, because we do want to see them flourish. But can I tell you this? I have to say that the Lord has blessed me because I've attended the house of the Lord. And I believe He'll bless you too. And so my prayer for you is that you will understand the importance of coming and doing those things in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray and then we'll sing a song, Brother Porter. Heavenly Father, first of all, let me thank you for allowing me to live in a country that you can still worship openly in the house of God. But Lord, when much is given, many times people just neglect it and they take it for granted. And Lord, how many people have abandoned the house of God? How many people has neglected to come and to find these things in their life? We look at their lives and their lives or maybe their family's life is shipwrecked. And Lord, it seemed one trial, one trouble after another. But Lord, it doesn't mean that we won't have trouble, because in this world we shall have tribulation. But Lord, when we have tribulation in the house of God, we're able to look into the hills from whence cometh our help. And Heavenly Father, there was a time when I was saved, but when I would face trouble in my life, I was too ashamed to look into the hills, because Lord, I'd lost that fellowship that I had with you. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight. We thank you for those who are faithful to the house of God. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would bless and be satisfied, and Lord, that we would praise you and lift up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you bless us in so many different ways. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that help these young couples to understand that. Help these parents. Help these young people, Lord, that's growing up and will soon be taking on responsibilities. And Heavenly Father, we pray that they keep within the hedge in which you've built. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the house of God. We do pray for those countries, Lord, that where there's persecution for the house of God. And Heavenly Father, it makes us ashamed sometimes when we hear the testimonies of some that's willing to face the issues they face just to be able to come and to attend the house of God. And Lord, we're glad that we don't have government officials coming in and disrupting our service, taking us off to jail. Lord, we're able to come and worship freely. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the house of God. And, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that those who attended in my past has prayed for me and directed me and help me, Lord, to be able to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm glad that you saved my soul. And I hope that every person in here of age is saved. But if not, dear Heavenly Father, we pray you'd speak to their hearts. And maybe tonight might be the night that they step out and receive Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Porter.